The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
In the name of the one God who creates, redeems, and makes us holy.
Amen.
The Gospel this week conjures up the unexpected and also the confusing. This is the second of two parables in which Jesus teaches his audience to expect the judgment that awaits for those who decline God's persistent invitation to practice the ethics of the kingdom. The parable starts out in a rather normal way, but quickly takes a bizarre turn. There's a reason for it. Matthew brings his own intentions to bear in the story. A simpler, perhaps earlier version of this parable is found in the Gospels of Luke and Thomas. The probable allusion to the destruction of Jerusalem suggests Matthew's attempt to pull Jesus' teachings forward into the new circumstances that have taken a heavy toll on his community in the destruction of the city. The terrible images of a destroyed city, a desecrated holy place, and a crucified humanity have been burned into their minds. These are also the daily images that pass before our eyes. Matthew moves from parable into allegory with a more exaggerated set of circumstances than the original parable. An invitation to a royal wedding extended to assorted guests who, to a person, not only decline, but violently fend off the invitation to the point of provoking war. No sooner are substitute guests persuaded to attend the banquet than one is called out for being underdressed for the occasion, which he could not have expected to be invited to in the first place. The urgency of the warning surpasses the logic of the narrative. We're confronted with outrageous behavior on all sides, not only by our standards, but especially in the culture of Jesus' day, with its sacred duty of hospitality. It would have been unforgivable for guests or hosts to behave in this way, even in the original parable. Jesus often made unusual and uncomfortable comparisons in his parables to challenge the assumption of his listeners. We are as confused and surprised by this story as those who first heard it. We don't know what to do with those scriptures which reverse the rules as we know them, especially those challenging our conceptions about who is in and who is out. The temptation is to ignore them or explain them away. We can get the connection between the kingdom and people being invited from the streets, but then there is the unexpected and extreme behavior of the king toward one of the guests. There's a way of understanding this story, of taking it seriously and to heart, without taking it literally. Yes, it is deliberately provocative by challenging our preconceived ideas about God and God's kingdom. It is telling us that it will be like nothing that we can imagine. It reminds us that our knowledge and understanding are limited. Even though we're made in God's image, we are not God. The most we can hope for in this lifetime are glimpses of the kingdom, through story and scripture, through prayer and experience. If we're open to the Spirit, if we listen and pay attention, we can catch glimpses of the kingdom. I think that Matthew used this story about the kingdom for more than shock value. He wanted to expand people's perceptions and ground them in the circumstances they faced. He was not saying that the kingdom is like the king or the banquet or the guests. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is beyond our expectations, beyond our assumptions, beyond what we can analyze and think through. It is always more than what we can see, that God will always surprise us, will always confront us with the unexpected. The point is for us to try to be open to more and not just rest in the comfortable assumption that we know all about God. In converting the parable to an allegory, Matthew is telling us what he sees as the central movements of God's actions for us. He insists that the host will go to great lengths and look in improbable places to extend invitations to all. He insists that the only sufficient credential for a place at the table is a transformed life. He intimates that not all who believe themselves as guests at God's banquet actually belong there. The unrobed wedding guest does not show the fruits of living as a guest at the banquet of grace. His downfall comes the moment when asked by the host to account for the way he appears, and he is speechless. Gospel living only begins with the invitation that goes out to all. It cannot just remain there as a good idea. It requires a transformed life, living in a new way, as those who put on Christ. This can be seen as a wedding garment or a baptismal garment, so that the outward effects of gospel choices will finally settle in our heart. Within the Christian community, there are a range of responses to the invitation. Some want the safe, soft side of discipleship. Some shy away from the more difficult inner and outer work of practicing love for self and others. Some want blessings, but do not desire to share the concrete work of service through outreach and social justice. Many are silent and speechless. God comes to us in surprising and unexpected ways, which always unsettle us and unmask our fearfulness of life and love. Throughout Scripture, the table serves as a metaphor or a word of hope, given in the midst even of harsh circumstances. Isaiah's proclamation gives us a glimpse of God's desire for all gathered together as one. The abundance and inclusiveness of this vision are dramatically different from our living from scarcity and fear. God invites us to partner in this vision in our lives. Transformation comes in willing what God wills. The parable leaves us to ponder the question, how do we appear?